All right. Good morning. Good morning. This is the first Sunday where we have all the leaders from the Africa team gone. And so we are going to do some crazy stuff today. While Barry's away, the mice will play. No, I'm not. I don't have the authority or the guts. You know, today is the ending of the From Fear. I got to say this right. From Fear to Faith series. And I don't know about you, but it's been, for me, it's been a really good series. I've really enjoyed it because the Lord has been taking me on this journey, I would say for the past several months, maybe half a year or so even, where he's been just showing me things, bringing revelation about different things that he's doing in my life. And one of those things is in my quiet time, in my times with him, he said, "You are suffering from the fear of man." And I was like, okay, yeah, I kind of know that because I'm concerned about what other people think and all this kind of stuff. And as we started processing more and more, I realized it goes deeper than what I thought. And so as I thought about it, and as I, oh, this area, oh, I do this because of this. As I started going down that kind of that rabbit hole, I felt like the Lord said, okay, calm down. We're not going to address all of them at once, okay? Just relax. And we're going to take one at a time. So you don't have to go. Don't get overwhelmed. Don't feel condemned. We're going to work together. And so it's like, okay, thank you, Lord. But I still had that sense of, I don't like this. I really don't like this fear of man. And when I watch, I've been watching these Todd White videos. Who knows who Todd White is? Oh, wow. Okay, not that many people. He's an evangelist, and he goes around sharing. He would probably be mad if he heard me call him an evangelist. But he's a guy that goes, he carries the kingdom. He carries God's presence. And he goes, and he shares the gospel, and he shares prophetic words and words of knowledge and healing. He prays for people, and they get healed. And then some of them come to Christ. And he just does all these amazing, there's all these videos of him going out and doing these things. So I was watching that. I've been watching some of his videos and going, man, God, I want that. I want to impact other people's lives. People who don't know you. I want to impact them. But I could just feel that fear coming up, just keep rising up. And I'm, oh, no. Until one day, I was at the grocery store, and I shared a part of this testimony with you guys before. I went to the grocery store, and I saw the cashier with a hurt wrist, and I prayed for her, and she goes, I don't know if this is all in my head, but my wrist feels a lot better. And so I'm going to share a little bit more later about that, but when she said that, I was like, oh my gosh, this stuff works. Oh my gosh, God does move. When you pray, he does do these things. And it was amazing. I think I was more surprised than she was. I think for her, it's like, oh yeah, she's bringing my stuff up. And she's like, yeah, it just feels so much better now. Thank you for praying for me. And I'm like, and so I said to her, you know, Jesus loves you. He loves you so much that he would do this for you. Oh my gosh, he wants you to be healthy. He wants you to be whole. And so just want to let you know that God loves you so much. He watches over you. He blesses you and so forth. And we left, and I was with my kids, and we left. And I was just like, oh my gosh. I just got a little taste, just a small taste of what Todd White does, of what God can do through a person who is just submitted to him. And I was just like, wow, God, I want more. And I felt like that instance pushed me over to go, it's all the things of the what ifs, all the things that were coming in through the fear of man, gone. Or not gone, but it's reduced. And now it's like, I want to pray for people. I want to talk to them. I want to see what happens when God comes in and invades that space. So like I said, I think for me, I still have fears. It's not like the fears are completely gone, But I can see where there's faith is rising. Faith in me is rising to the point where it's like, yeah, I got some concerns. I've got some fears. I got some things I'm thinking about. But you know what? But God. God to do something in this person's life. What if he comes and he answers the prayer and they get healed? What if they come to Christ? Oh my gosh, that's so much bigger than what the fear is. The benefits outweigh the cons. And so it's like, I gotta step into this. And so was it last week? We were at Chick-fil-A? I think it was last week, yeah. We're at Chick-fil-A with my family. We're sitting there, and I see this guy come in with a walker. Young guy, he must be in his 30s. And he has his family, and he comes in, and he goes, and his wife orders the food. And immediately, I saw other people with stuff, but I go, not sensing it. But when that guy came in, I was like, oh, okay, that's the guy. And so he sat down, his wife ordered the food, and so he was with his family, his two daughters. And they were sitting there, and I was like, okay, I'm going to go pray for them. Okay, what do I say? So I'm just kind of going through that whole process. And then I could feel fear rising up. And I was like, I could hear like this, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. And then it's like, it was like this conversation I'm having in my head. Why don't you want to do it? I'm scared. I don't want to do it. I mean, what if I go over there and they think I'm weird and all this kind of stuff, and they just got their food and da-da-da-da. All these excuses, all these what-ifs. And I sat in my seat, and Ida was talking with Jackson and Eliana, and I'm just sitting there going, oh, what am I going to do? Just in that place. And then I could feel myself going, if I don't do this, my stomach is churning because I'm like, nervous and anxious and scared and all that stuff. And I could feel my stomach churning. I'm going, oh my gosh, if I don't do this. So I'm talking to myself now. If I don't do this, this is going to be with me for a long time because I didn't obey God. So then I'm going, okay, I got to do this. So I got up and I walked over to them just kind of sheepishly. And I'm going, I don't even know what's wrong, but I felt like God said, don't worry. And as I look, I go, yeah, God is moving. God is doing something with them. So I, excuse me, I hate to interrupt you during your meal, but I saw you come in with a walker, and is there something wrong with your leg? And he had a brace on his knee. So he goes into this whole story of what's going on in his family and what's going on in him. And he broke his femur. And he had a rod put in, and so he wasn't working for 6 months. And he was just about to go back to work. He had to go to see a doctor to make sure, and the next week he's going back to work. And he goes, I was walking, without the walker, he was just walking, and he twisted his knee. And all of a sudden, his knee is bothering, and so he needs a walker. So he was just, I'm so distraught, I'm so scared, I'm so anxious about my doctor's appointment on Wednesday, because if he doesn't clear me, I can't go back to work the next week. So then I was like, oh, can I pray for you? So he said, yeah. So I was praying for him. And I don't know if he got healed at that point, but he was just so grateful. He said, thank you so much for coming over and for praying for me. And he introduced me to his family. And I just felt like, okay, Lord, you are doing something in this man already. Even if his knee and his leg doesn't get healed right this instant, you are doing something in this man right now. And so God, yeah, thank you, God. And so I walked back to that table, and I could feel a tangible presence of the Lord. Like he was just hugging me and saying, good job. I'm so proud of you, my son. Even in the midst of your fear, you went and did this. And I went back to the table, and I was there, and she's looking at me like, are you okay? And I just, tears in my eyes, because I'm just like, the God of the universe, my King, my Lord, my Savior, just told me, I'm proud of you. And I tell you, that is the best feeling and the best words we could ever hear from anyone. where you're pleasing God, exercising faith and pleasing Him versus just succumbing to the fear and saying, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And I tell you, it was the best feeling. Oh my gosh, I'm getting all, I can't even see my notes now. That's how I want to affect God. That's how I want to affect Him. Where He says, good job. Well done, faithful son. Good job. The thing that I found about, and so I've been actually going out, and I think about 15 people I've gone out to and just prayed for them and different things over the past month or so. And the one thing that I found that is so common in those things is I've been trying to see what God is doing in those circumstances. Not just going up and in my own strength, in my own flesh, trying to do something, but it's like, God, what are you doing in this place? And so that's what I want to talk about today as we close out this series, is about us fixing our eyes on Jesus. Because when we fix our eyes on Jesus, the fear is subsided. The fear has to leave. It leaks out. When we see and we sense what God is doing and we step out in faith. You know, in Hebrews 12, 1 through 2, it says this, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Okay, say it with me. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. Come on. I didn't say whisper. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. Yes, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. And so the author of Hebrews, he's exhorting us to run this race that is marked out for us, right? Run the race that God has set out for us while we just look at ourselves, while we look at it and compare it to each other. No, he says, fix your eyes on Jesus. Set your face towards Jesus. What is he doing? What's going on? What is God doing in this place? What's the Holy Spirit doing? Fixing our eyes on him and sensing, what is he doing in this place? And so even with that guy at Chick-fil-A, I was like, oh, I could sense. I couldn't see it. But I could sense God was doing something with that man. So then I was like, well, if God is over there doing something, I want to be a part of that. I want to be there with Jesus as he's ministering to this man. So get out of your seat and walk over and be a part of what God is doing in that place. But we have to be aware. We have to fix our eyes. We have to open up our hearts to see and hear what it is that God is doing. It reminds me, I was talking to John last week, or actually last month, and talking about the story about Peter stepping out of the boat and walking on water. And it's a story that we've all heard. We know. Yeah, Jesus called Peter and he walked out and he walked on water. Yeah, okay. I want to go over that again, okay? In case someone here didn't get it, we're going to go over that. So Matthew 14, 24 to 33. And I think there's some things that the Lord has showed me that I think will be interesting for us to pick up, okay? So let's do this. Matthew 14, 24 to 33. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came towards them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified in their fear. They cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage, I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come out to you walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over to the side of the boat and walked on water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong winds and the waves, He was terrified, and he began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. This is an amazing story that we're, a lot of us are familiar with. But it's amazing, the miracle that happened in that place. So the first, there's a couple points that I want to bring up. The first one is, when we fix our eyes on Jesus, amazing supernatural things happen. So Peter and the disciples, they're in the storm, and they're freaking out, and all these things are happening. And they knew that it was only by God's grace or God's help that they would survive. So when Peter fixed his eyes on Jesus, you could tell faith increased in him. Faith increased in him, and he was able to walk on water. Now, how do I know that faith rose in him? How do I know that that's actually what happened? Let's think about what he said, okay? He could have said a lot of things to Jesus, but he said, "Call me out to you and so I can walk on water." Okay? What kind of person in their right mind would think that I'm going to go out to Jesus and walk on water? Right? That wouldn't be a normal thing to think. Right? Like, oh, yeah. Oh, he's over there. Okay. So call me so that I can come over to you. I maybe would have said, "Oh, Jesus, get the boat to shore or something. Let's do something, you know, get us back, miraculously transport us." But he called, he said to Jesus, "This is what I want. Call me." And he stepped out on the water. That's how I feel like faith was increased in him. Faith was increased in Peter. He saw Jesus walking on the water, and he said, "I want to be with Jesus. So whatever it takes to get there, I want to get there. So even if it means walking on water, I'm going to do that because I want to be with Jesus. I want to be. Being with Jesus is better than being in this boat. So I want to get to where he is." And so that's what Jesus said. "Okay, come on. Come on. Let's walk on water." And he did for a second. He did for a little bit. But then what happened? Because of all the stuff happening around him, he started looking and he sunk. And I think that's what happens with us a lot of times. We start out in a good way. We're like, "Hey, I'm seeing Jesus. I want to walk. Things are happening." But then things come in and distract us. You guys ever been to a retreat? You guys have been to a church retreat and stuff, been on a mission trip? Who here has gone on a mission trip? Yeah? All right. You go on those mission trips, don't you feel like, "Man, I feel close to God. I feel close to him. I feel like, yeah, we're doing his work. I'm spending every morning praying and reading the Bible and all this kind of stuff." And you just feel so much closer to God with your brothers and sisters that are with you. But then you come home, and what happens? We go back to our old life. And we let the things of our lives kind of come in and distract us. When we're on mission, when we're in a retreat setting, we're focused on the Lord. We're worshiping every morning. We're having fun with him. And yet, when it comes, we come back home, then we let the things of the world kind of come in. And we're distracted. And we're not seeing Jesus anymore. We're not fixing our eyes on him. That's what I believe happens. So Peter, he does this thing. It's like this incredible, impossible, supernatural thing happened where he fixes his eyes on Jesus, starts walking out, and he's walking on water, just like I'm walking on the stage, walking out on water. And it's like, wow, if we do that, if we fix our eyes on Jesus, we're going to see some amazing supernatural things happen. Incredible, impossible even, things happen. You know, I was sharing earlier about being in Vons and being in the shopping, cashing my stuff out. And when I saw that lady and I asked her about her wrist, she said her wrist had been hurting her. It's been really hurting her. And it's funny because the lady before her, the customer, she had a brace on and they were talking about something. I couldn't hear everything. But then the customer said, next time I come in, I want to see you with a brace on. And as soon as I heard that, something in my spirit said no. And I was like, oh, okay. I guess this means God wants me to pray for her. So when I got up, I asked her if something's wrong with her wrist. She said, yeah. And then so I put my hands on her. I prayed for her. And she was just so grateful for the time that I spent. And of course, that her wrist was better. But it was a supernatural, impossible thing that happened. Right? Because if you talk to, where's Agnes? You talk to Agnes and you say, okay, Agnes, from a world's point of view, putting your hands on somebody and saying some words, does that medically make sense? No. She said no. It doesn't, right? Scientifically, do we have any scientists here? No, I don't think we're scientists. Does that make sense from a worldly point of view? No, it doesn't. It's only as God moves and He works that it makes sense. As looking at it from God's perspective of us going and praying, stepping out in faith, exercising faith, that it makes sense. And so that's what the Lord wants us to step more into. Times of just expecting the unexpected. Seeing the impossible happen. Seeing the impossible happen before our very eyes. In Luke 1:37, it says, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." And if we have that mentality, if we have that perspective that nothing's going to be impossible, can you imagine the things that we'll step into? I feel like God's calling me to this. I'm going to go over there and ask the mountain to be moved, because nothing is impossible with our God. How are we doing? How am I doing? I feel like I'm losing people here. All right. So I think that's what, when we step into fixing our eyes on Jesus, we can see God's going to do some incredible, supernatural, impossible things happen. Okay? So that's the first one. The second one is when we fix our eyes on Jesus, inconvenient events reveal God's ways. Okay? Inconvenient events reveal God's way. If we go back, I don't think I have it on here, but verse 22 of that part that we read, it said that Jesus insisted the disciples get into the boat and go to the other side. In other version, that's what it says in the New Living Translation. In the New King James Version and NIV and all, it says Jesus made them. Or some other version says He compelled them. And I've never heard Jesus, I don't remember Jesus being this strong to His disciples where it says He made them. He made them go over. So what I take from this passage is that Jesus really wanted them to get to the other side, in that He's making them, is that He's saying, go, get in the boat and go to the other side. He's insisting that they do that. And so the disciples, you know, they're obedient. And so they get in and they start rowing. And then what happens? The storm comes. A very, very inconvenient challenge comes to them. We're trying to get to the other side. 3 o'clock in the morning, we're rowing. Come on, just let us get to the other side. Jesus said He got us in the boat. He made us get in the boat. Let's get to the other side. This inconvenient event comes in. And it's like, oh my gosh. Not only is it's just the pain to get through, but it's like, I think we may die. If we don't get across, if we don't get to shore, I think we may die. So what happens? Jesus Because there's no storms in Jesus' world, right? In heaven, there's no storms. So Jesus is just walking on the water. Everything's going on with these guys, and they get freaked out. It's a ghost. It's a ghost. It's something coming to get us. And then they start calling out to him, right? And Peter says, if it is you, can we bring that up? Lord, if it's really you. So he wasn't sure. He wasn't sure if that was Jesus, but he says, if this is you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. Where am I? So anyway, they're going through this storm, and this inconvenient challenge comes to them where they're so scared. And what happens in that storm? They see Jesus, see this miraculous Jesus, Jesus walking on water. They see Peter walking on water, at least for a few moments. But then they get the revelation. He's the Messiah. Oh my gosh. He's the Messiah. Without that storm and that time, they don't get that revelation. They don't get that understanding of who Jesus is. Rabbi, he's a good teacher. Good teaching. We're following him. They got the revelation. He is the Son of God, the Messiah. And it's because of this challenge, because of this storm, that they got to see this in this moment. And I think a lot of times for us, for me, I know, when things come up, that it's so easy to get frustrated, it's so easy to get discouraged, it's so easy to just get angry, it's so easy to blame other people. You know, the other day I was driving to a staff meeting, and, you know, my house from the Freedom Center is not that far, but there's some lights, and so I hit every single light on the way. And I'm just going, are you kidding me? You know, as I'm going. And it's not the light where, it's red and you're driving up and then you stop and then you wait a few seconds or maybe 30 seconds and then it turns green. It's the light where it's green and you're driving up to it and then it turns yellow and then it's like, I'm not going to make it. So I had to stop for like the full length of the red. Right? So the first two, I hit the very first one, and hit the second one, oh my gosh. And it's that one where it's right by Long Beach City College, where that light hardly, it's fast light, and I hit it. And I sat there, and I was getting, like, very aggravated. And then I spoke to the Lord. I said, okay, God, help me have green lights all the way. And he said, I want to spend time with you. And I was like, oh. So this is my opportunity at these red lights to spend time with him. So then I started at the light. I'm just like, oh, Lord, you are so good. You are so good. You are with me. And I was just turning my affections to him. And then he started speaking to me. He said, my beloved, oh, don't you know I love you so much? I love being with you. He just started pouring into me. And I was like, oh, my gosh. So then light turned green. I was like, oh, okay. So then I go. And the next light, I was like, okay, actually, it was green. Slow down a little bit. And then it turned yellow. And I was like, yeah. And then I stopped. And then I was like, God, yeah. What else? And so he started just talking with me, and I could feel his presence in the car. And the next one, yeah. And I hit every single light. And even at the stop sign, I was like, no, you guys can go. Because I'm spending time with God. And these inconvenient things that come in, we can so easily dismiss them and just go, yeah, wow, what a pain. Oh my gosh, it's always, you know, we start getting into that. Why does this always happen to me? Why does this happen at this time? Why does it happen? And we can make all these excuses. But the Lord is, I feel like a lot of times he's just waiting. He's like, if you could see this situation through my eyes, it would totally change your perspective. Just like this wave and the storm, where it's like, oh, we gotta move. And God is saying, if you could see what I can bring out of this storm and what I could show you, yeah, you probably would be a little bit scared of, you know, all this rocking and rolling and all this stuff. But if you could see the Messiah, would you go through that? Yeah. If I get to see the Messiah, which generation after generation of Jewish people were waiting for, and we get to see him. So in our lives, we have our plans. We have our ways of what we want to do. We have all these things, especially on a daily level. I got to do these errands, and I got to do this, and I got to do this, and I got to do this. And we're doing all these things, going through it, then a homeless person comes up. Ah! Oh, how can I get out of talking to them? Maybe I'll go to the other side door of the grocery store, or I go this way, or just kind of not look at them while I'm walking. We make these excuses. We make these things of just, I got these things to do. But maybe God is saying, I want you to encounter this person because you'll experience something that won't grasp your heart if you don't do this. And especially going back to the first one, God can do some incredible, impossible things. So even in encounters, which we think, just this little thing, he could do some amazing things through that. Remember Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. If we remember that in any circumstance, that God is working for our good, I think we would say, God, whatever comes my way, I'm going to say yes to you. I'm going to say yes to you, and I'm going to engage with that. My sister had an operation recently, and a pretty major operation. And so my family and her family, we were all together at the hospital waiting for her to get a procedure done. And then once we heard that the surgery went well and then she's moving to recovery, I took her son, my nephew, Zane. I took him and my two kids and we went to go grab something to eat. So we're like, okay, we're going to grab something to eat and then we're going to bring some food home back to the hospital for Ida and my niece, Noelle. And we'll bring food back to them, and then we'll see Edie, my sister Edie, and then, yeah, we'll just celebrate. So we left, and on the way to my nephew's house, Zane, felt like the Lord said, I want you to buy some pastries for the nurse that is taking care of my sister. So I said, okay, what we'll do is we'll eat. And then on the way back to the hospital, we get the stuff. And then, okay, so in my mind, I'm going, okay, this is what I'm going to do. So we eat. And then it's like 8 o'clock by the time we finish eating. 8 o'clock at night, I'm like, okay, there's a donut place right by their house. So let's go there. So I told my my nephew. And he's like, okay, yeah, let's go. So we go to the donut shop. It's closed. So, oh, man, okay, where are we going to go? So we're looking on Yelp. And we're like, okay, I know there's a pastry shop inside one of the grocery stores. So let's go there. So we go there. Is closed. I'm like, oh, so I was starting to, you know, I feel like, okay, it's getting late, and I'm sure Ida and my niece are getting hungry. We gotta get back there. So let's forget it. Just forget it. Let's just not do it. Let's just go back to the hospital. But then I just felt like the Lord pressing, do this. So I told my nephew, I think we need to find something. So we found a grocery store. We're like, okay, let's just get some pastries from the grocery store. So we go there. We start going back, and my nephew goes, hey, so what are you going to say to her? And I was like, to be honest, I have no idea. So I don't know. Maybe I'm just going to just say, hey, the Lord put on my heart to buy this stuff for you. We want to bless you and then pray for her. So, okay. So we go back. My sister's doing fine. So we, you know, greet her and everything. And then we go, okay, let's go take the pastries. So we find the nurse, and then she's carrying some stuff. And so I go up to her and I say, oh, you know, and so my nephew's with me. We go up to the nurse, and You say, oh, you know, just want to thank you so much for taking care of my sister, his mom, and you are blessing her and our family by all the things that you do. And so thank you so much. And we just want to bless you and appreciate you. And so she's sitting there like this, and then she has the pastries, and then she starts getting emotional. And then she goes, you don't know how much I need to hear those words right now. It's been really tough at work. And so she goes, let me put some stuff down. So she puts it. So I turn to my nephew, and I had this look, and he's looking at me like, whoa. And I was like, I didn't know that that's what she was going through. There's no way anybody could have known that doesn't know her. So that's what God does when we're in those situations, when we listen to him. So she comes back, and she goes, yeah, it's been a super hard day. For whatever reason, we are short-staffed. So there's not too many nurses working today. So it's just putting more pressure on all the nurses that are here. And then she said, my brother who lives in Ghana, he has a seven-month-old son who's in the hospital. And the doctors don't know what's going on with him. So she goes, I'm stressed out, he's stressed out, we're all stressed out. I want him to come to the United States and get some good care. And so she just lays this all out. So I go, okay, can I pray for you? So we pray for her. And then Jackson comes running out, and then he's like, can I pray for you too? So he prays for her. So when we finish, she's just like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I needed that. I needed that. And then she goes, she's not here today, right? She goes, what church do you go to? And I go, oh, I go to a church in Long Beach, and we're in Torrance. And she goes, I think I want to check out your church. You know, I've been looking for a church, and I want to check it out. So I don't think she's come yet. I don't think she's here. But praying that she finds a church. And she was just so blessed by us taking that time out to just appreciate her and love on her and bless her. And so my nephew was just like, what just happened? Okay, we just wanted to give him some food and stuff and bless him, and, you know, and yet we were able to minister. And so when we step into those things, those inconvenient things where I could have said, forget it, let's just go, the food's getting cold, let's just take it to Ida and Noel and forget about all that stuff. I could have just done that. But the Lord just kept pressing on me to keep going, keep going. And I think with these inconvenient things, these challenges, these detours to our plans, that it can be so easy to do that. When God says, oh, if you could only see from my perspective what I have planned for you, if you would just say yes to this, even though it wasn't on your radar, this is what can happen. And so, I would love to see and hear more of those kind of stories happening in our church. So I have a few applications that we can take home and do. The first one, this is like the highest challenge one. Notice the people around you. Who is God highlighting? Okay, so wherever you go, it's not like when you go on a mission trip or retreat, those places count too, but when you go to the grocery store, when you go to the restaurants, when you go hanging out at the park, when you're hanging out with neighbors, just whatever, notice the people around you. Who is God highlighting? And the ones that, to me, at least in my journey so far, the ones that are the easiest are the ones that they're wearing braces, or they're in wheelchairs, or they're, you know, with a crutch, or the cane, right? Those are the ones you can go up there. It's easy. Just go, hey, so I notice you have something. You're using something. Is something wrong? Right? And usually those people are very open to sharing. I fell down. I did this. And so go up to those people with a boot on their foot. Hey, so what's up with your foot? And we can pray for them. We can tell them that Jesus loves them. Another one is micro habits. So this goes from, yeah, this is an awesome challenge, to, okay, bringing it down a little bit, ratcheting it down a little bit. Micro habits. I was sharing this with Barry the other day before he went to Africa. Micro habits, right? So one of the things that I started doing was just simple things. Smile at people. Just as you're walking around, just kind of look them in the face and smile, right? And not the crazy killer tomorrow. But just the one where you just, you know, the friendly face, okay? And if you have to practice, please practice at home in the mirror. But give that, you give him that thing, and then he's like, hey, can I pray for you? It's like, oh, yeah. Okay. No, you're too crazy. Say hi. Just say hi. Hi. It's funny. I was talking to Henry, and he says hello. And I'm like, yeah, Henry, I don't know if hello, that sounds like one of those AI kind of things when on the phone, hello, my name is, you know, like, say hi. Hi. Hi is a lot more casual, friendly. And then talk to them. Talk to them, especially the people that you are already going to talk to. Those are the easiest. Because the waitress or waiter comes, you got to talk to them. So just, hey, how you doing? How's your day been? How's your day? And I tell you, the people that are on their feet a lot have a lot of pain. A lot of times they can have a lot of pain. So those are the ones that you, hey, do you have any pain, back pain or leg pain? So talk to the people that you already, that you're going to talk to them already. That makes it just a little bit easier. And the last one is, this they're all for everybody, but this one is the one where it's like for people that you know. So when God brings a name or a face, you know, and some of you may already be doing this, but say a prayer for them. And you may not know what's going on. A lot of times I don't know what's going on with them. So I just, you know, Lord, I just pray for Stephen that the Lord would just move on his life right now, that he would feel your presence, and that whatever he's going through, that he feels peace. Okay, you can, something like that. And then what you can do is send him a text. Give him a call. Send him an email. Just saying, hey, I just was thinking about you and praying for you. And, you know, I don't know if there are things that are going on with your life right now, but I just want to let you know I was thinking about you. So those are some things that we can do. There's a lot more stuff, but these are a few things that I felt like the Lord wanted to challenge us with. Okay, so you got that? Took a picture of it? Got an idea? Yeah? Okay. The last thing I want to do is, Mark Biles has been very instrumental in my life. Like, he started sending me texts about what the Lord was saying to him. And at that point, I'm like, when he started sending me, I'm like, I don't really talk to him that much. So so it was kind of like this, okay, this is pretty cool. He's, you know, doesn't really know me. We don't spend a whole bunch of time together. In fact, I was like, how did he get my number? I don't know, you know, how he got my cell number. Did I give it to him or did I? I don't know. So anyway, he started prophesying. He started prophesying. And at the time, and so he was one of the ones that really stood in my mind was breakthrough. And he goes, and this is when my shoulder was hurting. And he goes, yeah, I think the Lord wants to bring breakthrough in your life. And I think it has something to do with your shoulder, but I don't think this is the main thing. I don't think this is the end. God is going to bring breakthrough in your life. So then I was like, okay, well, that's nice. So I kind of file it in the back of my mind, just kind of waiting to see what God does. And so this whole thing that what God is doing, I'm going, this is the breakthrough that the Lord had been talking to Mark about. And it's, I tell you, that whole fear that I had before, again, like I said, I still have it every once in a while, but I'm realizing the greater good of what's happening. So I need to step into these times. And so I don't know if there's some of you out here who kind of feels the same way, but sometimes you can feel stuck. Like, I've been trying, but there's things and I'm scared or, whatever, these things. And I want to pray. And I'm actually going to have Mark and Elena come on up. And we're going to have a ministry time where if you feel like you're in that place of being stuck or you want breakthrough or you want healing or you want something from the Lord, I want you to come on up. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Or I don't say that. In spite of maybe some hesitation, instead of some I want to encourage you to come on up. Because what can it hurt, right? What can it hurt? You come up, you get prayed for, you go back, and nothing happens. You're still the same, right? But I doubt that will happen. I know for the ones that come up that are hungry, God's going to do something. So I want you guys come on up, and then we're going to stand over here, and then during the worship, whenever you feel like, yeah, I want to go up, come on up, and one of us, you can come to one of us, and we'll pray for you guys, and pray for breakthrough. So Elena and Mark were very instrumental in my life in helping bring about that breakthrough. And I think they've experienced breakthrough as well. And so I want them to pray and impart that same kind of anointing experience upon all of us here. Give us the opportunity. So come on up when you feel like, well, worship team, come on up. Let me pray to close this time. Thanks, Lord. God, I feel like we're on the cusp of something big that you have for us as your people, as your sons and daughters. I feel like that you're calling us to step out into the water. And for some of us, we see the wind and we see the waves and we go, God, it's too much. But he stands there and he says, come to me. This is the best place for you. Come to me. Take a step of faith, because once you do that, once you take that step, once you lift your leg out of the boat and step onto the water, that's when I can come and move. But I'm not going to make you do these things. And so, Lord, may today and this ministry time be the beginning of something, a breakthrough, a change, a shift, a renewing of the mind, transformation in our lives, that we come to this place and it's like, yeah, God, I'm tired. I'm tired of trying to do it in the ways that I've always been doing it. But I want more. I want more of you. I want more of you. So Lord, may our people be courageous, strong and courageous, not turning to the right or the left, but following you, Jesus. And I know, Lord, even while we're sitting up here, that you're up here already. Your spirit is moving in this place. So let us just go. I just want to be where Jesus is. I just want to be where the Holy Spirit is. I just want to be where he's working and moving. Yeah. Let that happen this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for our online service. Hope you will join us in person sometime. It'd be great to see you and meet you. Don't forget to subscribe to our Catalyst YouTube channel so you don't miss out on anything. And be blessed this week. And as always, thank you, Jesus.